Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
You're listening to the Cricket Podcast.
I think it was a disgraceful performance, and I think it should never be permitted to happen again.
That is very good.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Cricket Podcast, where we're going to be celebrating a mad, mad world. Mumbai Indians, they've made it through Eliminator 1. They'll be playing in Sexy Game 2, as we referred to it yesterday, and we'll be talking about all the big happenings in that match and what might happen tomorrow. I'm Jack Hope. I'm joined by Max Rowe Brown. How are you doing, Max?
Hello. Yeah, very good. Very good. Glad to see the back of one team from this playoff.
Yep. And Ross Legg, who is erroneously labelled as Dan Weston on the podcast, on the YouTube. How you doing, Dan Ross?
Yeah, well, it's great to be back. I've had a week and a half off in Italy for my partner's birthday, and I've missed everybody. So, yeah, happy to be back.
What have you missed most?
Max's hat wearing. He's never without a hat, is he?
So never.
And is that a woolly hat you've got on in the 24th of May?
It is, yep. Yep.
Interesting.
First thing I could find from my wardrobe.
Right, Max, we're going to talk a lot about Mumbai. We're going to talk a little bit about Lucknow Supergiants. Before that, we're going to talk about serious cricket. What is a serious cricket?
A serious cricket, well, it's like a grasshopper. Doesn't like jokes. No, Serious Cricket is our sponsor, and they are an excellent provider of cricket equipment. And you can get 10% off said cricket equipment by going to seriouscricket.co.uk and using the code TCP23. So go and do that.
And good news, lads. We've got merch. Can you see this? It says Cricket Podcast on my tits here. And I've got one here, and it's got this on the back of it. So if you want a merch t-shirt, they're going to be released in the next week and you can get your hands on one. So yeah, get in touch.
What great news. I know the perfect way to celebrate that, if you're watching on YouTube, is to click the thumbs up button, because you're excited about t-shirts, or subscribe so you hear more. I think we should say as well, right at the top, we're doing this show obviously straight after Eliminator 1. I think the plan is tomorrow to not do a show after that, but to do it on Friday morning with a preview part element for the final as well. So it won't be a direct reaction show, and we'll put it up on YouTube and you'll be able to see it there when it's there. So yeah, that's the other reason you need to subscribe.
Don't miss out.
Max, what happened in the cricket? How did Mumbai dismantle Lucknow Supergiants?
Well, the way in which they did that, Jack, firstly, they did it with the bat, which we expected them to do. They batted first on a pitch that the commentators seemed to think was worse than yesterday, and all the people playing on it seemed to think was better than yesterday. So I'm going to trust the people who were playing on it. And the score that suggested it was also a bit better than yesterday, 182 for 8, and that was largely down to Cameron Green, Sira Kumar Yadav, and a bit of Nel Wadera at the end. Impact sub, really impacting Mumbai Indians innings. But Lucknow lost a couple of weeks in the power play, but looked like they'd finally got going. Marcus Stoinis with a quick 40, and they were in a pretty decent spot halfway through. Well in with a shout. And then, a mad, mad world, as you put it, as Akash Madwal just ripped the heart, the soul and the life out of Lucknow Super Giants, finishing with the joint best bowling figures in the IPL ever, matching Anil Kumble, 5 for 5. And it was all over. Well, not as quickly as we'd like it to have been, because it was over very quickly, but also quite ponderously, because it's 7:10 here. And the game finished with 3.5 overs left. So I don't know how that happened. But anyway, the point is, for once, their bowlers did the job as well.
They did. They really did. And I think we'll talk a lot about Madwal, because it was a fantastic performance from him. Ross, I'm going to throw over a question to you in a second. But Max, I do think you missed out another key element of the Mumbai performance. Deepak Hooda, round of applause for him. 3 wickets. I mean, like, doesn't get much better. Overshadowed, I know, by Akash Madwal, but he
coming
played
in a close second. Yeah.
He played his part. Well done. Ross, Mumbai, where do you want to start with them? They've won 5 from their last 7. They've just dumped out the Lucknow Super Giants. They're on their way to Gujarat for qualifier 2, sexy game 2. How much should we expect from this team? If you were a Titans fan, would you be quaking in your boots?
I don't know in this one. I'm still not convinced by their bowling lineup. Like, it still is a little bit frustrating that they are kind of in this position, and Mumbai fans are kind of going, "Yep, we told you we're great. We are great," kind of thing. It's a little bit frustrating, but their players are stepping up. And you saw today how good someone like Cameron Green could be. There was doubts going into the tournament about how good he would be. And he's really stepped up. Fashion 2 runouts with Deepak Hooda today, which was nice to see. Batted well. And then you've got what is a pretty solid batting lineup, really. I was listening to the comms earlier on, and they're like, it was really unfortunate that Ishan Kishan and Rohit Sharma, who both started off so brilliantly, got out early on. I was just like, 15 from 12 and 11 from 10. That's not good commentary, lads. That's not what we wanted to be. And they've managed to overcome a spirited Naveen Ulhaq, who I'm unsurprisingly a big fan of.
So you're basically saying, Ross, that Mumbai are no good. Like, that's your opening gambit. I gave you a free hit there. Just talk about the good things that they did.
Yeah, you said their batting's quite solid. BBC commentary is really bad. Naveen Ulhaq is great. They were the 3 points I took from that. That's my listening comprehension.
Max, do you want to have a go?
I'm out of practice. It's been a week and a half.
Do you want to have a go? I mean, I've got down here, you know, Cameron Green, Surya Kumar Yadav.
I've got another thing, by the way. I've got
okay,
one more
what's
thing.
That?
Do you reckon they put in the wrong team list? Because why did they bring in Wadhera as the impact sub in that position? Why didn't they just put him in the batting lineup for, I don't know, P.S. Chawla or Shukeen and then transfer
well,
him?
Well, I think that there was a pretty easy tactical thing. But we want to talk about them, that they were actually good. Like, you have to give some credit, Max, don't we? Your turn.
Yeah.
We've done a lot of shows together recently. We're the professional part of this outfit. Can you say what you thought Mumbai did well?
Like you said, Ross, they didn't get off to the best start with the bat. But, I mean, Cameron Green and Sky completely changed the impetus of that innings, the way they came in. I mean, you know, neither of them got massive scores, but they just put their foot down. And you're going at 10 and over. Even, you know, it might have been a better pitch, but it still wasn't, you know, it's still Chennai. It still wasn't. Not going to be that easy to score runs off. And to be going at 10 and over through those middle overs was nothing short of, you know, astonishing, really. It was really impressive the way they did it. And the finish was pretty good too. We were talking about, you know, with Mumbai, and I think some of the commentary people have picked up on it as well now. Like, par score for Mumbai with their bowling is probably plus 15. But turns out they fixed their bowling now. Because they've found some random bloke who has played, 7 games of IPL cricket, I think 5 games of T20 before that at all. Was playing tape ball until he was 23, and has just turned up and started bowling Yorkers for fun. And that's either good scouting, which is what one of the arguments is, or they've just literally tried everyone and got super lucky that this guy actually turned out to be really good, which might be close to the truth. I don't know. If only they had given him a go before Arjun Tendulkar, maybe we'd be looking at them in the top two.
This is actually, that was one of my notes. It's like, where was this guy 6 weeks ago when they were cycling through like Arshad Khan and Arjun Tendulkar and that other spinner that was rubbish? I mean, there's I think there's fair commentary to be made. And I think there's a really interesting team Mumbai because of this. Ross, your point that their bowling attack leaves a lot to be desired is correct. Let's not take anything away from what Madwell did today. He was very good. And Chawla as well, like, bowled pretty well today, but over the season has been one of the bowlers of the tournament. He's taken over 20 wickets. His economy's been pretty low. They've got a couple of pieces here and there. And Berendorf bowls two good overs in the power play. So of the 20 overs you need to bowl, actually 10 of them are quite good. That's not bad. But then you've got Green and someone else. You've got the guy, the off spinner, who only bowls half trackers.
Chris Jordan's Shaquin, there.
Shaquin. Yeah, Chris Jordan, who's like statistically the worst death bowler in the world. It doesn't entirely make sense. This team would be there. I disagree that it was frustrating, though, because what they've done, there's two ways to win a game of cricket, yeah? You've got the batting and you've got the bowling. And their idea, their vision about this packed batting lineup has come to fruition. It was easy to be critical of them before the season, and a lot of people were. But I think there is proof in the Mumbai Indians pudding. I'm not sure what the pudding of Mumbai is. Someone should tell us in the chat, like, what is the sweet dish of that city?
Yeah. I think
This tactic has worked. There's no other way to describe it. Like, the way you construct a team, you have to generate wins from somewhere. You have to be good at something. You could be good at all of the things, of course, but like, that's quite hard to do with a salary cap and a limited player pool. They've just gone all in on batting. And there is absolutely no doubt that it is working. And I think I think they're probably favourites to beat Gujarat, unless the pitch is questionable. What were you going to say, Ross?
You're smoking crack, mate. You're absolutely smoking crack.
Well, what's the argument against here? What are you going to say? We know their bowling's bad. We know their bowling's bad. They keep fucking winning.
I disagree that Mumbai deliberately put this stacked batting lineup together. I think there's a big kind of element of
luck.
I think there's a big element of luck that's been involved. I think throughout this tournament...
Well, talk us through what's lucky about it then.
There was no way that going after Cameron Green and him being, like, let's be fair, a pretty bloody good T20 player, that was completely unknown. That was a massive gamble that kind of has paid off.
We knew he was a better batter than he was a bowler.
But it wasn't a master T20 player. So I think
it didn't work out with Cameron Green, they've got Tristan Stubbs and Dewald Brevis that they could try as well.
Yeah, who, let's be fair, aren't both setting the world alight. There was a massive bit of good PR around them, but they've not done bloody loads in T20.
I think Tristan Stubbs has been pretty good.
I don't know where you're going with this. Like, they, with Green, what they've got is a bowler who is costing them, you know, wins, as it were, but a batter who is gaining them like loads and loads more wins than he's costing them in the style of, you know, cricket they're playing. Also, because like, he's perfectly capable of bowling three or four overs, and he was pretty good today, to be fair to Cameron Green. Because he's able to do that, they can have an extra batter in the team. They can bat, what have they got to say? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 frontline batters, basically. Mm-hmm. And then they've got Chris Jordan at number eight, who's not too bad. And Shaquin can hold a bat. Like, that's of the teams in this tournament, they're what, the only one with, I mean, it's not even like nine competent guys. They're all like, you know, at least league average, if not better in their position. It's an excellent, excellent team. And there is definitely thought that's gone into it. I think the gamble was, and the thing people always say is that bowlers win your tournaments and batters win your game and their games. And they're kind of flipping that on its head and taking it to the extreme. But it is working phenomenally well. Like, you would much rather at this point in time, be them than all but at least two other teams, and probably those other teams. Well, you'd rather be Chennai, obviously, but probably Gujarat would, you know, are going to be a little bit nervous playing them.
No, I think Gujarat Titans have been the standout team, and that's why they finished first. They have won games from difficult positions. They've got people who perform. Their most underperforming player is Hardik Pandya, who will at some point come off and could well do it in the next game. I think you saying that Mumbai Indians are much bigger favourites than Gujarat Titans for the second sexy game. I think that was a bit too much of an overstatement.
I really don't think that's true. Like they've on a really difficult pitch, and Max, you were saying that this was a tough deck to bat, and I thought it probably was about as hard as yes. They didn't spin as much, but I thought it was quite slow and low.
Naveed's slower balls worked really well.
They got 100,
suggesting that it gripped a bit.
They got 183. Like they outscored Chennai, who were built to play here yesterday. Like they're good. They're really good, this batting team. Now the bowling, yeah. Look, we've said it, and I'm not going to go into detail again. Bowling leaves a lot to be desired.
But on the bowling side, I think they've been a little fortunate that pretty much every single one of their bowlers has performed above their average.
But they've also been unlucky, to be fair. So to balance it out, they were unlucky that Archer and Bumrah both out injured. Get that? But yeah, they're lucky to be here. But I like what they're doing in terms of, let's go and hit more runs than the opposition. It's kind of like Ozzie Ardiles' Spurs when he was going to score one more goal than you. That's fine. But I just think there are some slices of luck in this Mumbai team. And the way in which it's annoying is that they always seem to win. And I just don't like that.
Well, they always seem to win because it's a good tactic. Like what they're doing.
I meant in the IPL. I'm not talking about the last six games or seven games that have gotten there.
Right. Well, yeah. I'm slightly surprised by how well it's worked, but you can't deny that
it's fun. It's way more fun than watching LSG play cricket.
That is fun. Max, can you believe Madball is 29?
No.
Where's he?
It's mental, isn't it?
There's no question there. There's no further follow-up. And I think we've talked about how good he was and sort of how much of a surprise that was. But yeah,
What I'm really looking forward to is the next 3 years of people referring to him as a young lad, young Madwell. Now, it's more understandable now because he might be 29, but he has barely played any cricket. So it's entirely reasonable to see him and be like, where's this guy come from? He must be young. Unlike when people were referring to Suryakumar Yadav as the new kid on the block.
Spring chicken.
The young up-and-coming 29-year-old batter from who's been playing in the IPL for 6-7 years. But there'll be plenty of that, I'm sure. Parachuted into the India side, no doubt. Look forward to seeing that as well. But,
did you say parachuted?
No, parachute.
I thought you said power shooters. Oh, that's different.
We've done 15 minutes. We've not really talked about the game at all. So I think what we'll do is take a break. And we've talked about the game. Like, we've mentioned Green and that. But we've not talked about where it sort of went wrong for Lucknow. So we'll hit the break button and we'll come back. I'm absolutely perplexed that Ross thinks that Mumbai are lucky to be in the situation that they're in.
Who deserves to be there more than Mumbai?
It's a good question.
It's not fucking Rajasthan, is it?
Yes, I mean, but the king of the piss panters. I don't think so. I'm just saying from this setup. And we can sit and look at all the previews that everybody did around it of saying, look, their batting is strong, but there's no way they're getting through with the bowling lineup. I think when Hera, Cameron Green coming off, they were big gambles and they have managed to get them over the line. I think it's a very interesting way of doing it. I'm not saying their lineup is bad. I'm saying they are lucky to have that lineup in place. I don't think they went into the auction strategy and going, we're going to fill this full of big batsmen and kind of come out and be in the playoffs because of that reason. I think they've stumbled across something. I don't think this is by design. If it was by design, you would have said that in the preview of the IPL.
We all said their batting lineup is strong. That is the design. They have, this is the vision that they had. We just didn't think that it would work because we thought Jason Behrendorf going at 10 and over for an entire IPL would be a disaster. And Cameron Green going at 10 and half and over would be a disaster. And, you know, nobody foresaw Piers Schorler being one of their best players, which has made a huge difference. I think
Massively.
That probably is a slice of luck. I don't think they would have expected that. But I think we have seen the realization of the vision here without their two best bowlers, Archer and Bumrah. I think we have to hold our hands up and say at this point in the season, even if they go out to Gujarat next week, what they have done is successful. Like, this is something that I would expect to be decent next year as well. Like,
I'm willing to believe that they've gone, okay, look, Archer and Bumrah are injured, and Jai Richardson, who they tried to bring in as well, didn't they? And he ended up pulling out. Having given up on those three, been like, fuck it, let's just go with batting rather than try and cover the cracks with slightly better bowling than we've got. Made, you know, it would seem like a logical route for them to go down, to be like, all right, well, let's just go all in on the batting and see what happens, because that's where we are.
Right, we talked about that break. We're going to do it now. Then we've got two super chats, and then we're going to talk about Lucknow.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Cricket Podcast. I said we do the two super chats. At least one of them is from a Patreon. So if you want to sign up to support the pod directly, patreon.com/thecricketpod is the place to go to do that. You get a bonus show every week, plus access to our Discord, plus a few other bits. Click the thing in the show notes. Do that now. And get your credit card out. Get your dad's credit card out, or your mum's credit card out if you're underage, or your girlfriend's. I don't know. Like, I think probably legally have to say don't do that, don't I now?
But, please ask the bill payer's permission.
Yeah. Alexander Hines says, please, might have some of the drugs you're on, Jack. Look, mate, we're looking at the future. This is how T20 cricket's going. Mumbai have just stolen a little bit of a march on everyone else. That's more or less sincerely what I think. If you want to know why, the value you can gain from batting is effectively uncapped, I think, because you can just have more and more batters.
Well, it's probably capped at 36 and over.
Well, yes, exactly. Yeah, like there is a hard cap there. That is true. But I mean, in terms of like win probability added, or wins above replacement, or wins above average, like you can keep stacking wins on top of that because of the limitations imposed on your bowlers, i.e. they can only bowl four overs. I think the success you can get out of bowlers is necessarily limited.
I mean, that's just a fact of cricket, isn't it? Being a batter is much
a batter's game.
Well, no, yeah, it is true. But in T20 cricket so far, and I think arguably in Test cricket, bowlers are the more important thing. Like, I think a better bowling lineup is what I would want if I was setting up a Test match team from scratch. That's where I would concentrate my resources. I think in ODI cricket, you'd definitely go batting heavy, wouldn't you? In T20 cricket, I think it's up for debate. It maybe historically has favoured having a better bowling team. I think we might be seeing that change from a, you know, structural perspective. Sadeep says, who do you think wins the tournament, and who do you want to win the tournament, and why? Also, Ross, I'll send you the $100 soon. Congratulations.
Sadeep.
So who do we want to win the tournament? Well, and who do we think will win the tournament? I think, I mean, like, Chennai is the easy answer there because they've got to win one 50-50 match and the other two teams have got to win two 50-50s.
So, I mean, I said that CSK would win it from the outset. So that's the team I want to win because I want to be right.
You know, part of me thinks they might just cancel the final and let Dhoni parade around with the trophy for four hours instead.
He's going to be on the Modi bloke. Yeah,
exactly. Max, who do you want to win?
Well, I'm a CSK fan, so obviously I want CSK to win. But I just have a... I think Mumbai might do it. I don't know why. I've just got this creeping feeling that they're a juggernaut that can no longer be stopped.
I think people are better than them, and I think CSK are better than them.
I think the funniest thing that would happen, and this is why I want it to happen. I don't really like Mumbai. I think they're the evil empire. They're too rich for their own good. And they've got a terrible kit as well. Like, it's gold trim is so gaudy, isn't it? Like, what is
it's
going
very
on
IPL,
there?
Like gold trim, isn't it? KKR, they've got it.
They've got some fun players, having said that. Like, I'd like some of the players, but the franchise as a whole, I think I can leave. However, it would be really funny if Mumbai beat Dhoni in the IPL final in Dhoni's last ever game.
It's not going to be Dhoni's last ever game, is it?
I just think that would be the perfect end to the story. If, you know, once and for all, it was proven that Rohit Sharma was the super strategist. let's talk a little bit about strategy from the Lucknow point of view. Ross, you mentioned, I think, their good player, Naveen. And an honourable mention to Stoinis as well, who batted pretty well. Aside from that, I thought it was a fairly miserable performance. Where do you think they specifically went wrong?
I don't actually like the 11 that they put out in the first place. So as far as I can tell, Quinton de Kock not injured. He definitely
just dropped.
Yeah, just dropped out of the side. And so I'm just like, immediately, I'm just like, you're leaving who is a pretty solid player in that lineup.
Who's their best batter apart from Stoinis, probably? Or maybe Pura. Who's your best player?
And like, as like kind of seniority goes in it, kind of King Legend, Quinton de Kock, like that's probably the lineup you got, and then Stoinis is coming in as the middle order hitter with Puran, and I just thought they got this unfortunately wrong. And when you're even looking at the bowlers again, it's not threatening enough. You know, I look back to what they did have at the start of the tournament of what they played today, and again, I just think they kind of could have done a little bit better in terms of their team selection. I also think that Deepak Hooda, as you mentioned at the top of the show, Jack, has been, let's be fair, an ultimate disgrace to cricket throughout the IPL. And today was the cherry on the top with the liqueur and then the flame. It was unbelievable.
Flopped.
And the flop of the tournament goes to him.
Oh, he really wanted it, didn't he?
In finals, maybe ever, I mean, like, actually, on a personal level, it's one of his best batting performances of the year, which tells you all you need to know. But, like, what are you doing? Like, you run out Stoinis, then you run out Gautam, and then you manage to run yourself out and keep Naveen in. Like, I know you're not going to win at that point, but at least make it seem like you care.
You know the video, the village cricket videos that you kind of see all over the internet.
Yeah, that's so village.
All three runouts were just like I would expect to see on something like that, where literally the tall, lanky bloke who's in the team has somehow grabbed hold of it and he's rolled it along the floor. It's somehow gone to cover, and then he's thrown it and got a lucky direct hit. He's like, "Oh my god, this is amazing!" And then the other one happens again, but the two batsmen are at the same end. What are you doing? I think, ultimately, Lucknow, they picked the wrong 11. They absolutely bottled it when the pressure was on. When the pressure cooker was there, they bottled it. And Deepak Hooda was more like Deepak Hoodoo on Lucknow.
I think they're quite lucky to have been in this position as well. I think we don't always talk up KL on this show, but I think he adds...
That might be the understatement of the whole podcast.
He is their best batter. And he's been out for the tournament. So like when he was still in the team, I think the match before he got injured, he did do the horror show, didn't he? Where he got like 50 or 70 balls or something like that.
But at least he got 30 or 30 today, and that might have been quite helpful.
Like, he is their best player and he's not there. And I think they don't make the playoffs, I think is what I'm saying, if King Legend gets injured two or three games earlier. I don't know. They picked the wrong team. That doesn't help. They've kind of done that all season. Mark Wood's gone back to England. I think I saw a clip of him bowling. Yeah, so he's obviously unavailable and he started the season really well for them. Bishnoi started strong and has gone off a cliff. You could probably say the same about Kyle Mayer to some extent. Like right at the beginning of the year, do you remember he was banging 50s for fun? He finishes the year with an average of 30 striking at 140. You're still saying pretty good. Like that's a decent season, but it wasn't how it started. Like the performances have been dragged down significantly.
Yeah. And then they got to a point where they're like, okay, you're not doing that well anymore, so we're going to replace you with Quinton de Kock, who came in and did well. And then they're like, you know what? Yeah. You know what? I don't want to win this game. I don't fancy it.
So I feel like there were two teams definitely trending in different directions.
And there's also another thing with it. They only played three overseas players, right? With the impact sub being Kyle Mayers. And yeah, I still don't buy into the whole three of your best players that you should have that you've built your auction around pretty much not being in the side. I just don't get why I haven't picked four.
So sorry, I don't really pay attention to the. I actually find the subs rule incredibly boring and disinteresting. I think I would quite happily see it binned. It hasn't enhanced my experience at all, I would say.
Were they expecting it to be kind of like wrestling, where like Stone Cold Steve Austin comes in and it's just like, oh my god.
There's been a whole vibe, a whole wrestling vibe, I think, this year in the IPL. Like I do really think that there's, and I think partly this is probably cultural because, you know, like the Premier League football in England is taken way too seriously. Like it's not fun at all. It's like this is.
Lives, it's literally people's lives, they live and breathe for it.
Whereas I think the IPL is a little bit more of a carnival and it's definitely a little bit more of an entertainment product. Like they'll ask players about their wives at the break and things like that. Every second clip is a celebrity in the crowd. And it is a bit different. Like there is a slight cultural difference there. But I don't know. I think what I'm getting at is I'd like them to take it a bit more seriously. And I think things like the impact sub and like you say, it kind of being introduced almost like it was something from wrestling. This farewell Dhoni tour, it's a bit too much. Like this wouldn't happen or it shouldn't be happening in like allegedly the best league in the world. Well, no, not allegedly. It is the best league in the world.
Like 40-year-old David Beckham captaining Man United.
Well, no, Isaac. I mean, like it's more like a kind of slightly past it. Tom Brady. If Tom Brady played another season for the Tampa Bay, yeah, in the NFL,
yeah,
like we know he was past his best, and it wouldn't be any good, yeah. But if he played another season, just so that he could go around all the stadiums and everyone could cheer him, like he's still good, still throwing passes, still like you know contributing. Not a complete joke, but the main reason he seems to be there is to
he can still do that. It just. Go and do it for the Jets or something.
Oh, I don't. People wouldn't take it seriously though. Like they wouldn't if it was. It's just a bit too in your face for me. The Dhoni goodbye stuff and the celebrity stuff. That's I'm throwing the impact sub in with that. Like I don't.
Well, we've just got a super chat really about it, Jack, from Sudip10. I think there have been actually been strategic uses of the impact sub. Today's use was sneakily brilliant. Thoughts, will it get more and more strategic? Well, I think it will transform. I think they will end up doing, well, they will include overseas players in it. I think you'll be able to play four overseas players and sub another one in, I think.
What Sudip was saying in the Discord, and I think there's a fair point here, is that what Mumbai kind of tried to do was use Madball or no, so if there's a situation where Madball slipped down the order, where he didn't have to bat, or there were like three balls left, so they send in Shaqeen, and then they can sub in an extra bowler and have six bowlers, like, yeah. And that could have worked, but it didn't. Yeah. So you know.
And then I guess it becomes a trade-off question, doesn't it? Of what mileage are you going to get out of having an actual batter for four overs or someone who might bowl two overs and help out your side? Obviously, you want the batter, and it came off. KKR tried to do a similar thing, didn't they, with Anikal Roy earlier in the season. He got a golden duck, and that was really funny.
Yeah. Anything else on this cricket match? So we'll take a break, then we'll talk about tomorrow's sexy game. And can you do it in Danny Morrison's voice again, Matt?
It's the sexy game, the IPL, sexy game two.
That is a very good impression.
I think we're doing bad.
We've got a couple of questions as well. All right, so let's. It's a short middle part of the show. Well, actually, Ross, did you have something to say about the game to finish us off?
I feel bad.
Concluding remarks.
I feel bad for Stoinis, if I'm perfectly honest. The Stoin literally said, or was it the test? I'm going to be the game's best finisher, right? Again, more wrestling kind of vibes. And here, this was poised to be kind of a twatier. This was poised to be something that was something special. And I think that opportunity, although slim, was cruelly taken away from him today.
Wrestled from him,
exactly, Max. Never didn't get that opportunity. And I think, we'd have to tip one out for Stoin, I think, for that.
Yeah, and blame Deepak Hooda. There's something brilliant about colossal failure, isn't it? Do you remember when Glenn Maxwell just didn't hit a six for the entire season? Like
Nicholas Curran averaged nine.
They're fascinating performances or fascinating trajectories to follow. Right, let's hit the break and we'll be back in a moment.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Cricket Podcast, part three. We've got a few questions to get through, and we have our thoughts on Sexy Game 2. Let's do Sexy Game 2, or Qualifier 2, as it's officially known by the other. Look, man, if they want to go wrestling, then they need a better name than Qualifier 2.
No, we did this yesterday, and we completely agree. It's just still funny. I'm still finding it funny.
Sexy Game 2 is all we could come up with.
It's difficult. Those who throw stones.
Right. Eliminator. Look, we did say credit. Eliminator is a good name. It's Gujarat v Mumbai. The Titans v the Indians, which sounds like a Wild West movie, doesn't it, in a way? Max, what are your thoughts on tomorrow's cricket?
It's not tomorrow, by the way. It's on Friday.
Oh, it's on Friday. Cool. Yeah,
well, that helps out. Well, okay, so we won't be doing a show
perfect.
On Friday morning.
We're not
then.
Doing anything on Friday morning, yeah.
I did think, I was about to say, you know what, it's a little bit harsh on the team who's just won to get there, that they then have to immediately travel to Ahmedabad from Chennai overnight to play in this game. So Friday does make a whole lot more sense. But, I've said that I have a sneaking suspicion that Mumbai are going to make it to the final. But this game, proper 50-50. I think like Gujarat all round better side. Obviously, you know, they've got more about them in terms of the ball. They've got, you know, the best all rounder in the world, best leg spinner in T20 in the world, and Shubman Gill, who's in, you know, another dimension at the moment. And if all of that comes together, you've got to back Gujarat. But I just have this sneaking suspicion that Mumbai are going to chase whatever they put up. They'll bat second. And they'll knock it off. Sky will do something ridiculous, or Tim David will hit 40 off 10. There are enough ridiculous outcomes that individuals could pull off in that Mumbai batting lineup that I think they might do it. Even though the more I say it, the more unlikely it seems that it's going to keep happening.
I do think that it's a really interesting matchup between the league's best batters and the league's best bowlers, and I feel like if anybody can stop Mumbai, then Gujarat are the team that are kind of equipped to do that. Because like on the batting side, they're, you know, if you look at the makeup of the side, they kind of don't go that quickly in the power play or the middle overs, and they go nuts at the death. That's their pattern. Where are Mumbai particularly bad? like at the death. Madwell has solved that problem to some extent. It's not as heinously bad as, you know, that game where Arjun Tendulkar was getting smashed and Berendorf kept bowling full tosses. Like it's a little bit more stable, but there's still definitely a weakness there.
Yeah, he can only bowl every other over.
And it's not inconceivable that Shami takes a couple of quick wickets. And even if he doesn't, you've then got to get through Rashid Khan and Noor Ahmed. There's not really a hittable bowler in their lineup. And I'm not saying that Mumbai are flat trap bullies. I think they're a lot better than that. Like Surya Kumar Yadav, perfectly capable of taking apart any one of the three bowlers I just mentioned there. Probably the same for Cameron Green, the way he's going. And a couple of the others too. I mean, yeah, like Tim David could definitely put someone in the car park.
I mean, this is it. This is why it feels like such a toss-up.
But I do think of the four teams in the playoffs, I think this is Gujarat's worst matchup. Mumbai's worst matchup. Ross.
Yeah. It's also though, if you think of, I've got the kind of Narendra Modi Stadium stats up here, and they've only played 25 games there so far, and it's quite evenly balanced. But this is where Gujarat Titans hit 227 for two against it, so it's a home fixture for them as well. They'll be feeling confident in that, and I think some part of that does benefit them as well.
Yeah, absolutely. What's the key battle, Max?
I think you highlighted what can Gujarat do at the death, because that's where a lot of their runs are going to come. So a lot of pressure on Madwell's shoulders to keep that down. But I think can Mumbai's batters get on top of Rashid Khan and Noor Ahmed in the middle? I think power play wise, sometimes they've gone fast, sometimes they haven't. Mumbai. I don't think you know, if Shami takes a couple of quick wickets and gets rid of Rohit and Ishan Kishan, I don't think that's that much of a concern from a Mumbai point of view. But it's going to come down to what Sky and Cameron Green and Tilak Varma can do, I think, against the spinners in the middle. And, you know, in particular, Tilak Varma and Sky, excellent players of spin. So, you know, it's an interesting matchup for them. So
Max, I agree on that front. And I think it'd be interesting to see who Gujarat actually pick. Like, they've been picking Shamaker in the lineup. I don't think that's the right
pick. I don't know why.
In that lineup, I think they've got people on the bench, overseas players, who would add to this. Like, they have to win by taking wickets in this regard. Jack, your point around Mumbai just batting deep and deep and deep, they have to go for the wickets for it. I don't think they'll be able to contain some of those batters. So I think we might end up seeing a bit of a shift, and maybe someone like Alzari Joseph comes in as the overseas player.
Well, yeah, player. No, it's not a question of containment with the ball so much as, you know, will Rashid Khan get Surya Kumar Yadav for 15, or will Surya Kumar Yadav score 70? That's the battle. That's where the game will change.
I think that's fair. I think Piers Chawla is the big one for Mumbai as well.
Yeah.
Like, you can't allow Gujarat to get to the last five overs three wickets down. If that happens, any score is possible. Like,
with Dasan Shalakar in the side.
And I think their realistic best wicket taking option is Donut Boy, as Ross called him. Uncharitably.
Many moons ago.
Not that long ago, Ross.
We've got some questions, and we'll start with the ones from Patreon. So Dan and Jay asked about QDK, Quinton de Kock, and we kind of answered that, I think. So just to say that
I can't believe they left de Kock out.
Thank you.
Free de Kock.
Welcome back.
Hashtag free de Kock.
Yeah.
Lauren says, who would be your first pick for a franchise from all of the players in the IPL if you were going to draft a team for next season tomorrow?
Sky.
That's a big fear.
No, I think if you had to win the trophy next year, I think I would pick Sky as well. I think he's just that much better. Like, if you were thinking about 10 years, then I don't think I would pick Sky. I think I'd probably go with Rashid Khan.
Yeah, I was about to say. Yeah, it's the best bowler and the best batter. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he did save one overseas and one homegrown, didn't he? So I'll have Sky and Rashid Khan, please.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's
very
good.
Where's the rest of my budget?
You could do Josh Butler and Jasprit Bumrah if you're going to go in that space. But Butler made a bit of a torrid time this year, but is still an elite T20 batsman.
I think Rashid Khan is the no-doubter with the ball because he doesn't get injured. He can bat. He's
a good fielder, to be fair.
Brilliant.
Well.
He took some wonderful catches this year.
I think if you were going to go for you have to go with a homegrown batter basically to balance it out as your second pick. Now, if you were thinking over a decade and that rules out Suryakumar Yadav, I don't know who you go for there. Who you go for there? I think a lot of people would be tempted to go for Gill. I think
Varma.
I don't know. I mean, Gill is the front runner. I don't think there's it's hard to look past him. But I would
Hardik,
sort of like someone,
Pandya, perhaps.
Hang on a minute. Rashid Khan's 24.
Yeah,
man.
What?
This is news to you.
Yeah. I was just, you're talking about 10 years. I was like, I thought he was late 20s just because of how long he's been around.
He's breaking every T20 record, and then no one's ever beaten him.
That's insane.
He's going to be genuinely
rocking out. I genuinely didn't realize how young he was. That's incredible.
He's going to be rocking out for CSK when he's 45, still taking wickets.
Unbelievable.
That's what it's going
to
be.
I look forward to it.
Cool. There's some names. Shrika says two teams.
Jaiswal again has been highlighted in the chat. He's had a brilliant Jaiswal season.
I'd actually maybe go Jaiswal over Gill. I think.
Whoa. Okay.
I think Gill's a good player, but I think Jaiswal's more explosive. I think
I'll have a pair of them opening the batting. Yes, please.
That kind of thing. That's a slightly rarer skill. Shrika says two teams that were predicted to be on the bottom, CSK and Gujarat, finished on top. The team that was predicted to win the whole thing, Sunrisers, finished last. What happened? Well, Sunrisers made a series of the worst decisions of all time. And
who predicted CSK to be bottom?
Really did perform that well. I don't know. I can't remember. We did a poll of Patreons, didn't we? And I think
CSK were in the middle.
I think CSK were fifth and Gujarat were fourth. And so they both outperformed mid-table, but
maybe
it's not,
fifth and sixth, maybe fourth,
not by fifth, by much. I think CSK and Gujarat's plans worked basically.
Yeah,
relatively few injuries for
and
both.
Sunrisers
well.
Didn't have any plans.
Sunrisers didn't have any plans, and they made a couple of gambles with Agarwal and Brooke, and neither of them came off even a little bit.
No,
got 100.
Agarwal got an 80.
Agarwal got an 80. Yeah,
so. Yes. Question from Dave. Dave is good fun. If you were Stoinis and you wanted to orchestrate your release, this is the last one from Patreon. If you were Stoinis and you wanted to orchestrate your release from Lucknow Super Giants, what steps would you take?
It's got to be something to do with Gautam Gambhir. You've got to go. I think you've got to go for the have a punch up with him potentially.
Yeah.
You could.
I'd love to see Stoinis have a fight with Gambhir.
It's going to be a very one-sided fight, isn't it?
Was it James Faulkner who in the PSL completely
threw his bat into a chandelier?
Yeah, got drunk, said no one's paying me. And threw his
so there's
chandelier.
Yeah, there's always the nuclear option.
Yeah, but that's get yourself kicked out of the entire league. This is just you're not going to play for this franchise again. It's tough. It's a tightrope that one.
Yeah, I don't know. Could he just leave? I think he's getting reasonably well remunerated, isn't he, Stoinis? And his performances over the last few matches probably mean he's a guaranteed starter and guaranteed to be retained next year. So from the old bank balance point of view, I think
I'd
hang around
if, just,
if I were him.
If he just keeps going the way he's going and scoring a high strike rate, King Legend will have had enough of him soon and get rid of him.
Yeah, cool. Right, on Twitter... We had one question. We had a couple of questions, but we've got to them as we've gone through. Chakidi 97 says, how do you see the future of the IPL developing? 12 teams by 2030? More of a proper league season, like in the Premier League, with everyone playing each other twice? What do we reckon?
Well, I think we'll get to a point where every team plays each other twice.
Isn't that supposed to happen next year?
Is it? I know they're increasing the games. Were they going all the way to...
I think so. I think they said that like a lot of these things, it's like where are the playoffs going to be played? You don't really know until it happens. So I get the sense that there isn't a roadmap, as they would say in Ross's line of work, I guess. I feel like this is much more sort of, let's see what happens. Maybe we'll do some more games.
I do think we'll see the introduction of some global games. So you might see them play like a round of fixtures in Australia or a round of fixtures in England or something like that. I do think they would try and take it a little bit wider for at least one game a season. What the NFL do.
I don't think is there enough money in it for the BCSCI?
Well, maybe if they take it to the United States, right? I do think there is a market maybe for one or two games a season, whether it's not a whole round or whether it's just one or two big games of going and doing.
Well, they used to do the final, didn't they? Somewhere else. So there might be a...
I don't know. I don't actually think that the people who run the IPL are particularly globalist in their outlook on the sport. I think and you can kind of understand this from a bottom line point of view. There's 100 million people watching most of these matches in India, and if you look at the numbers involved in that, that's not even close to the number of people that could be watching some of these games. There's still quite a lot more room for growth in the Indian market. And I think that's their near-term priority. So I think 12 teams is definitely realistic because there's bits of India that aren't represented.
Yep.
And I think playing more matches is likely. We were talking about this earlier. I think, and this might be a bit of a wild card, I think we'll see the playoffs change to an American model where you get series instead of one-off matches. So I think if you add, say you have 12 teams and all of them play each other twice, that's 22 matches to play in the group stage. It fizzles out quite quickly if half those teams can't make the playoffs. So you've got ages where, like, there's, you know, towards the end of the group stage, you've got this sort of lull in the tournament. And then you've got three matches to wrap the whole thing up, or four matches to wrap the whole thing up. I feel like if I was running that, I would really quite like a big audience for, say, a three-match series between first and fourth.
Or even like some sort of divisional system.
Yeah, I think you'll see the end of the season expanded to get more.
Yeah, we spoke about games. That when we were talking about how would you improve potentially the T20 World Cup, right? Of what is actually fair, of what you do. Yeah. Can you do three games in the semi-final, three games in the final, whatever? But I'd be a fan of that, if I'm perfectly honest.
I like it for domestic, for a big domestic tournament. I like it. If the IPL was 3 months, you know, 2.5 months of group games, 2 weeks of a week of divisional games, and then a championship series, a five-match championship series. I'd enjoy that. I think for the World Cup, I quite like the dynamic of winner takes all.
It's fun, but but at least at this
maximum game, jeopardy.
I also think that the coverage of the IPL has to change. The way in which they do it today, it doesn't cut the mustard, I don't think.
Well, I think the first change we'll see is that when they do expand the sort of end of season games in the playoffs, they'll start calling them sexy series.
Oh man, they'll be called the Saudi Arabia sexy series. That's what I want to hear. Sudeep, and we've got one. If you've got a chat question, you've got like 1 minute to do it, and then we'll try and do one or two of them. Sudeep says, "Can we get your thoughts on the purple and orange cap MVPs thus far, etc.?" Well, the purple and orange cap, I think the purple and orange cap should end at the end of the group stage.
Because
I don't think it's fair that like a player can play three more matches.
Shubman Gill's going to win the orange cap because he gets to play 17 games.
And I also don't think it's representative at all of who the best player was. Not to say Shubman Gill hasn't been good. Clearly, Shubman Gill's had a great, great season. He's in your team of the tournament. I don't think he's actually in the conversation for best batter, though. Genuinely. I don't think he's anywhere near as good as Faf or Jaiswal over the year. He scored the runs a lot slower, and he hasn't scored that many more of them. He actually hasn't scored more runs than Faf. It's a pretty open and shut case at the moment, I think. Like if he got a ton in the next game, maybe I'd change my mind. But I don't think it's close. Wickets sort of makes a bit more sense, doesn't it? Because wickets, they also cost the opposition runs. So
you're not measured on that, are you? That bit doesn't get measured in whether you win the purple cap. So I think it's still more opportunity to...
You can wrap it, like if you took 50 wickets at with an economy rate of 10, you'd still be so useful. Like, you'd be going all over the place.
Right.
If your economy rate was 15 and you took 70 wickets, people would be like, well, he's a bit expensive, but you've got to take the 70 wickets that he's delivered here. See what I mean? So I think a wicket, and they're really extreme examples, but I think a wicket is actually a decent measure of value for bowlers, or a better measure. It's not perfect. Economy maybe should come into it, but runs for batters is not the main thing I would look at, I think. So MVP, though, let's have a shout for MVP, everyone.
Oh, I think we were talking about this in the Discord earlier, like the performances in the playoffs and in the final, it has a huge bearing on it, right? I think at the start of the thing, I said Ravi Jadeja will be well within that shout. I think he's been a standout player for CSK with the ball, decent with the bat, but I'm not sure that's going to stand the test of time. And I think it's a tough one. Is it a bowler? Is it a batter? It will be. I'll rephrase. It will be from whichever team wins the tournament. So if it's CSK, might well be Devon Conway, might well be Ravi Jadeja. If it's Gujarat Titans and whoever performs well, if Gill hits a century in that game, he'll get it. If not, it'll be Rashid Khan or Shami. And if Mumbai win, then it could be Cameron Green, who I think you predicted, Jack, if he goes big. But that would be funny.
Seriously, like if Mumbai win the whole thing. This is going to sound mental, but not the worst shout for MVP would be Piers Chawla. He's been so important to them.
Piers Chawla's good. I mean, like, Suryakumar Yadav, 544 runs. At 183. That's on the backside, blows people out the water.
And I think he didn't hit any runs for the first five games as well. Yeah.
I think what Rashid Khan's done for Gujarat probably is the competitor. I think it's, as we were saying on who would we pick, I think it's between those two.
Yeah, I suppose there's a clue, isn't there? When someone says you can pick literally anyone with your franchise, who you're having, and we're saying Sky and Rashid Khan, then they're probably your MVPs, aren't they?
Like, no disrespect to the Chennai Super Kings, but like, they could win it, and I don't think an individual player on their team would be the tournament MVP.
Must have been a team effort.
I think that they've been really good as a team. Gaikwad is closest, but if you look at him side by side with the other top run scorers, he just isn't the best. Ross, was there anything in the chat that we should cover off before?
Yes, Alexander Hines sent a super chat in. We said, who will win the Ashes? England, obviously.
We did this yesterday, Max, didn't we?
I went 3-1 England, and Jack said 3-2 either way. So now you need to decide which way the 3-2 is going, Jack.
Well, I'll go Australia then.
Right.
I think it's very, very hard, actually, in reality, for an away team to win an Ashes series. Even, the hype gets built up and all this, that and the other. Like, just the fact that they use completely different balls and practice with completely different balls makes a pretty big difference here. Look, it's possible that Steve Smith is brilliant again and Labuschagne is brilliant again. And they've both got a lot of experience in England. But I feel like at home, England probably are slightly stronger. But I wouldn't be stunned if Australia won as well. Like, I think this is the best Australia team that's come to England for a while. Had they come last year, no, sorry, they'd have got destroyed. Had they come 2 years ago, then I think they'd have won 4-0.
Oh, you mean the year where we went to Australia and got absolutely hammered?
Yeah, yeah. But then, like, England... When England were playing India... Getting quite handily beaten up by India, I think Australia would have been even worse. I think the World Test Championship final is going to be really interesting between those two teams. Like, so I think both of them are kind of imperfect in England, but very, very good teams. So I think that could be a really good game.
And Sudhir asked where our previews of that is going to be. So it will be next week before the games, I'm guessing.
We were saying we've got... There's actually a much bigger test than the World Test Championship final coming up. England take on Ireland, aren't they? So
I'm going on next Friday, actually.
Oh, are you? Okay, I'm there on Thursday. And we'll fit it in. We'll definitely be talking about some Test Match Cricket. Basically, we're going to go over... What I find is that after the IPL, Test Match Cricket is really boring. have to ease myself back in. I'm sure I'll get going. No, it's not like really boring, but to watch it is like after you've had constant stimulation. It's like if you watch Mad Max, yeah, and then straight after that you decided to watch Godfather.
Yeah. Isn't it quite nice though, the change of pace?
I think they're not an ideal
pairing. Spinner's coming on.
If I was running a cinema, they're not the two films I would show together.
Right, anyway, let's wrap up there.
Cool. See you later, everyone. At The Cricket Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Patreon.com/TheCricketPod. And Ross is going to try and sell you merch, but you have to go around his house and buy it out the back of his van. Bye-bye.
You're listening to The Cricket Podcast.
I think it was a disgraceful performance, and I think it should never be permitted to happen again.
That is very good.
Sports Social Podcast Network.